Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
On today's Pardon My Take, we have Haley Joel Osment. Yes, I see dead people. Fun interview with Haley. Learned about acting. Learned about catching lizards. Learned about...
Experimental theater,
and what really happened to Little Forrest. He grew up and became an actor who came on Pardon My Take. That is what happened.
Who may or may not have gotten AIDS. Yeah, so you'll have to stick around for that one.
Oh, and a table reading. We also have a little Burgergate talk. I don't even know if we're calling it Burgergate. Bachelor talk, hot seat, cool throne. And because it is Wednesday, guys on chicks. Before we get to all of that,
whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Okay, let's go. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Your Ad Here. Yes, it's open for business. So, Your Ad Here. Today is Wednesday, January 16th. And, boys, we have a burger gate, which I don't even think it is a real gate.
No, it's gate. Everything's a gate.
Yep.
It's a gate. It's big. It's our Ghazi.
Yeah.
Burger Ghazi.
So, Clemson, I don't know if you heard, but they smashed Alabama. Yes, you're hearing that correctly. Clemson smashed Alabama in the national championship a week ago. They went to the White House, and President Trump gave everyone a bunch of burgers, well, fast food.
He paid. He bought. He personally purchased. I have to imagine that he probably sent staffers to Burger King, McDonald's, Pizza Hut,
Wendy's,
all with like a $100 bill each, and just said, go buy like 300 burgers from each of these places.
So we're not a political podcast. Everyone knows that. We stick to sports at all times. But this is sports because it is Clemson football, and we both had the exact same reaction when everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe he gave all this fast food. I just saw the plates full of Big Macs and Wendy's and pizza. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. The only thing is it was probably cold by the time you ate it. I can't think of too many things less appetizing than like a cold filet of fish.
Yeah, filet of fish.
No, excuse me, McFish.
Don't put the filet of fish out
there. Yeah,
yeah. That's a big time mistake.
Mm-hmm, big time. But the rest, like, I could house some quarter pounders right now.
Oh.
And I'll tell you this, that little lib Chris Long has to be really regretting not going to the White House when he had the chance. You missed out on a feast, buddy.
Big time. And it looked like, essentially, being back in college and getting super high and being like, let's just order all the fast food. Because who wouldn't want to be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to have McDonald's and Wendy's right after that and just try them all. So I'm fully in favor of this move. The one thing that President Trump missed out on, he should have brought the McRib back just for that. Could you imagine if that was
a Shamrock Shake?
A power move, just being like, McRib, it's not even back, but it's back here.
We have it, folks. And we love it, don't we?
That would have been the biggest flex of all time.
I was surprised they didn't wheel in like a Coca-Cola freestyle machine, too. That would have been sweet.
Yes.
Actually, watching Dabo Swinney try to figure out how to use one of those automatic Coke machines, that would have been great. Basically, President Trump just treated this entire thing like it was an end-of-the-year soccer party.
Yeah.
And he had like he was having everybody over to Fuddruckers.
We needed trophies for everyone and some Oreos.
You get whatever you want. Now
ice
we've
cream
got
cake.
It all. And honestly, like, yeah, some of the food did look pretty good. I was wondering if Hank was going to be triggered because they omitted a certain franchise. Hank, would you like to speak on that?
Sorry.
Taco Bell.
Is that bad for the brand, Hank?
No.
No?
Well, relations aren't great with south of the border.
No,
so
that's true. Pick a side. It's like either you want to be included or you want to be on the outside, not on the fence at this point.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Now Taco Bell needs to rebrand as anti-Trump and steer into this.
So
right, Hank?
No.
All right, so
MAGA Hank,
definitely not.
It got me thinking, PFT, how this relates to sports, and my initial reaction was, if every team that wins a championship goes to the White House and gets a bunch of fast food, how does that affect the motivation for each team? So, like, you got to believe that Andy Reid's thinking.
Andy Reid's licking his
chops. I want to get there.
Plus, Patrick Mahomes, they're gonna have a ketchup fountain for Patrick Mahomes. They're gonna have ketchup milkshakes served ice cold for Pat Mahomes to just chug.
This is haunt since the Bills.
So I wrote down a quick list of teams to keep an eye on, knowing that they have a, because, like, look, if you're a fat guy and you're and at the end of the tunnel is a bunch of fast food, guilt free because calories don't count when you're in the White House.
When you're celebrating, yeah.
This is going to be great motivation. So I have a list. You tell me if anything is off here, if you have anything to add.
Okay.
So the Pirates, Clint Hurdle, he's a big fast food guy. Got that nice round face.
He's just going to list fat people in sports.
Yeah,
and say
it's all the managers.
That you're
going to
want to go. Okay.
Tigers, Ron Gardenhire is the Tigers manager now. Gardy, okay. He's a big-time fast food guy. Dodgers, not for Dave Roberts. Tommy Lasorda.
Yes, Lasorda would love
Tommy going love and food. Eating just nonstop Big Macs.
Well, we know that he likes sauce.
Yes. Oh, gravy.
Yes. Well,
sauce.
We know he doesn't eat dry pasta.
On everything.
Confirmed. He would actually, if it's Tommy Lasorda, just send him to an Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Never-ending breadsticks and salad.
That'd be pretty good. Wherever Mike McCarthy next coaches.
You can never die if it's never-ending.
Yeah,
just thought of that right there.
Wherever Mike McCarthy next coaches.
Okay.
That's, like, if you are looking to hire Mike McCarthy, this is actually a bonus in your pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pro, he probably wants to go to the White House and eat a bunch of fast food.
Right. When the Packers won the Super Bowl, you could actually, there's a prop bet for the color of the Gatorade to just be gravy brown.
Yeah, exactly.
He just got doused in giblets.
Matt Patricia, definitely a fast food guy.
Uh-huh.
100% a fast food guy.
I feel like
guy.
Most coaches are fast food guys, though.
Yeah, there's some that are, you know, like Cliff Kingsbury's not. I mean, those abs, bro. Come on, he's never had a French fry.
You don't think so?
No.
You think he's keto?
Come on, he's doing the fucking kale chips.
He's probably
and
Beachbody. I would be shocked
gross.
If Cliff Kingsbury didn't have like a Facebook page where he's selling his Beachbody workouts too.
Yeah, his diarrhea.
You know, they call me a coach, but I'm also a coach of these, Beachbody.
These abs didn't come for free. Mm-hmm. Huggy Bear, big one. Huggy Bear going to the White House and just sitting there by himself, being like, "Fellas, I got this," and just be like, "Give me a moment with these Big Macs."
Yeah.
And then actually, the Bulls coach Jim Boylan is a big time. He's a fighter. He's a heavier guy. He would definitely want some fast food if the Bulls could ever win more than like 15 games.
I could definitely see that too.
Yeah.
This is going to actually be tough. It's going to be tougher for McVay, for Sean McVay. He doesn't like this shit, and just like people in LA in general,
he's a robot.
Yeah, he's like, "Give me the In-N-Out."
Ooh.
They're picky.
That was a big miss, Hank.
Big miss. Well, they don't have it.
That would also be like the similar to McRib getting in and out in Washington,
D.C.
That would
be a huge flex, yeah.
Damn.
Big time flex.
Huge miss. So, yeah, Burger Gate, which wasn't really a gate, but I guess it was the intersection of sports and politics.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of.
Yeah, sure. What the hell?
Yeah, why not?
It was pretty funny, the candlelight dinner that they had. Like, it was very fancy.
Presented it was on platters.
On a silver platter for all these guys. Nick Saban was probably psyched to see this.
Yeah, it was.
He's like, fatten those guys up.
It was essentially.
Fatten them up.
It was essentially like living the life of the kid from Blank Check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, if I had $1 million, I would just have McDonald's on a silver platter.
A water slide.
Yeah.
And then
go-karts.
And then I'd have a 25-year-old girlfriend. People don't talk about how that movie was
a little weird.
Dicey. Yeah. A little dicey. And
also,
she was into him.
Also, $1 million, like. I mean, after you pay taxes, dude, and you got to pay your agent fee and like all this, you know, there's if you're buying a house and all this stuff. I mean, you're not coming home with that much money.
I'd rather not have $1 million.
Yeah, no, it's a headache.
I know we talked a while ago about like, would you rather have $1 billion? I would like to have $1 billion, but
yeah.
a million?
Mm,
not cool.
More money, more problems.
Rather be broke.
More money, more problems was the dumbest saying ever. I feel like if you have more money, you have less problems. Just as a general
by
rule.
By and large, as a general rule, yeah.
You can just pay to not do the things you don't want to do.
Here's a fact. Money does solve some like, if you're hungry, that's a problem.
A chef. Right.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
get a chef.
Well, or you get McDonald's.
If you pay someone to just pick up after you at all times, that's a nice problem.
It is a very nice
problem.
That
you don't ever have anymore. So, myth busted.
Also, back to the fast food, I'm just thinking for all the brands that got left out, I'm feeling bad for them.
Yeah.
Like Long John Silver's.
Yeah,
that's a shame.
Tough.
That's a real shame. Hardee's.
Yeah.
The thick burgers.
I had McDonald's sober for the first time in a long time on Saturday night.
But you feel
on my cheat day.
But here's the thing. After you eat McDonald's sober, you feel like you're hungover.
Yes. A little bit.
You get a McDonald's hangover big time.
Pro tip for everyone out there. I don't even think, if you aren't doing this, you have just been living your life completely wrong. But if you go to McDonald's, if you go to a drive-thru, the key is to get a large fry and then get a medium or small fry for just the car. So yeah, that's just the car fries, because you don't want to dip into your large fry when you get home.
I agree with that. I also, one move I used to do when I lived in Texas, you go to Whataburger and you get
Oh, are the burgers good there?
They're really good, yeah. They're delicious.
Interesting.
You go to Whataburger.
Whataburger, best burgers, you got to have their chicken.
Okay, you go to Whataburger and you get your honey butter chicken biscuit.
Yep, exactly.
But you got to time it right at 10:30, so you drive directly from Whataburger to the McDonald's and you get the McDonald's
sounds
fries.
Like you're saying, it sounds like you're saying water in a Philly accent.
So wait, so Whataburger doesn't have good burgers or good fries. What a place.
No, I'm saying McDonald's fries are so good, but you use the Whataburger ketchup.
Oh.
The spicy ketchup.
The better ketchup.
Yeah, only the real fast food aficionados out there will know what I'm talking
about. It's just a ketchup place.
Yes.
It's like the new...
It's like Patrick Mahomes would love to live inside a Whataburger.
Yeah, it's like the new deconstructed shishi restaurants that are just like grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Melt.
Yeah.
It's just grilled cheese.
Just chup.
Yeah, it's just chup. You just go, welcome, get a squirt of ketchup, and then you keep going.
Welcome to chup. We're going to bukkake you with tomato paste.
Boom. Done. All right, before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne, Hank... We have Bachelor Talk. Oh, by the way, we are obligated to mention that the AFC Championship game this Sunday, it looks like it's going to be cold.
Mm.
We forgot to do that. So yeah, as a sports podcast.
I was going to get to it.
You were? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it.
There are many people who have to just continually say how cold it's going
to
be.
I'm going to get to it.
All right. Hank, Bachelor Talk for guys that don't watch The Bachelor.
Crazy episode. Demi touched the group date rose before it was given out.
What?
You don't do that.
No.
Wait, what?
That's such a Demi move.
The group date rose?
What is that?
They go on a group date and they give one rose to a contestant. She gets the group date rose.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
But before it was given out, Demi touched it.
But what about the rose at the end?
It's like the Stanley Cup. No, there's roses each episode.
Yeah. But
if you get a rose, you're good for the episode.
Yeah, right.
So
they give it out during the episode?
Yeah, so it's like one girl gets a group date rose, so she's good. And then at the end,
she touched it.
She touched it before.
It's very unlucky to touch the group date rose before you're invited to touch it.
Got it. That's wild. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it is a crazy episode.
Demi is a clear villain. She's set herself aside as the clear bad villain.
We know.
Yeah.
At the cocktail party, Demi put on a robe, tickled him upstairs, and gave him a massage.
Wait, you said tickled him upstairs?
Took him upstairs.
Took him upstairs and gave him a massage.
But in the show, so I heard, I wasn't watching, but she was wearing a robe and then took him upstairs, and all the other girls were freaking out because they thought, you know, she was going to take his virginity.
Well, yeah.
So some high drama.
Hand virginity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were very upset for her for putting on the robe, and, you know, it was a cocktail party and she put on a robe and she took it to another level.
Sounds like she's just a badass bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But she's the villain. All the other girls hate Demi. Okay. And then Heather told Colton, is a virgin.
What's the advantage, real quick, what's the advantage to like teaming up, to having like a squad of girls that are your friends on The Bachelor?
I don't think that's how it works. I think every Bachelor season just works that there's one girl who has like all the sex appeal and they all hate her.
And they hate her. Wait, yeah. Is that the girl that did the fake Australian accent?
No.
That's my girl. That okay. is my girl.
She hasn't got a lot of airtime, but she's nice. Heather.
Have you been watching?
No. I've been hearing this.
That was off script.
Yeah. Heather, who's another beautiful girl, blonde girl from California, told Colton, who's a virgin, that she's never kissed anyone before.
That's a lie.
On the lips?
She's trying,
a prostitute? No kissing on the lips?
She's trying to appeal to Colton.
Yeah.
It's a great lie, too.
I think they're setting them up to take each other's virginity. It's like going to be the big
virginity
drama.
Bang.
You know what it is? It's one of these Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she can fuck him, and he can kiss her, but she'll never Can't kiss him, yeah, and he'll never fuck.
Right.
Also, Nick Offerman was in it. It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. What's he?
They did, like, an open mic thing, and, like, the girls all went.
You got to also, Nick Offerman, like, no offense to Nick Offerman, because he's a very funny guy, but I think he's just Ron Swanson, right? It's like Jason Alexander's George Costanza.
He's done a pretty good job of branching out commercial-wise.
He was completely bald and had a full lumberjack beard, so he doesn't look like Ron Swanson at all.
Right, but don't you think there are certain characters you're like, that's just Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
And like George Costanza, like, and Kramer. What even is Kramer's name?
Riley Cooper.
Yeah, that's right.
Cosmo.
He's very bad.
He should actually do the Riley Cooper biopic. He's like, if you've already been caught on tape saying it,
yeah,
then you're like the only person that's fit to play that role.
Big time receiver in the red zone.
Yeah.
Big target.
Yes.
Get it to him. Okay.
But
that's it?
Demi's a villain.
He just busts in the door of Andy Reid's office,
yeah,
drops a hard N-bomb.
Like, And scene. That's the movie.
That's the whole entire
movie.
The real question is, what episode is Colton going to lose his virginity?
I don't think he's going to do it.
Okay, how many episodes are there?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a lie. How many episodes are there, Hank?
There's been two.
Yeah?
I don't know how many are there? I don't know. 10, 20, 30.
Mm. Interesting.
Just narrow it down for me.
I would say...
Fewer than 15. Say 20. Yeah. I think he'll lose it by episode...
No,
14.
You guys are misreading Colton. He's like Tebow. He's so dug in on his
virginity.
Living
in a house with a bunch of hot girls, he's eventually just going to fuck.
No, not going to happen. He's too strong. Remember, he's a former NFL player.
You're also one of those people who actually thinks Tebow was a virgin.
Tebow still is a virgin.
They also, in the show, so I've heard, they set him up of being a virgin by being like, oh, well, I played D1 sports, so I never had time for girls.
True.
It makes no sense.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Classic. Every D1 athlete knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right, Hank, hot seat, cool throne. Do it.
My hot seat is Netflix.
Yeah.
So everyone's been hearing about these Fry Festival documentaries. Netflix was supposed to release one. Fire.
It's fire.
F-Y-I-R-E.
Fire Festival documentaries.
Fry Festival is what happened at the White House. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Netflix was dropping one. Hulu pulled an alpha move and just released theirs like 2 or 3 days beforehand. And it has the actual... Founder of the Fire Festival in the documentary. So Netflix is on the hot seat because everyone's watching the Hulu one, talking about the Hulu one. It will probably be better than the Netflix one because in the Hulu one it says that the one produced by Netflix is featuring the Fuck Jerry people who were like...
Complicit.
Yeah, very, very, very complicit. So,
who is Fuck Jerry?
He's the Instagram account.
I know he's a meme. Mm-hmm.
He's an Instagram account. But
it's the old water cups.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My old nemesis.
Yeah, it's basically like it's like if the Barstool Instagram account that was like...
Was a person?
Yeah.
And his name was Fuck Jerry.
Yeah, okay.
Probably but it's an Instagram account, but the way they present it,
that person would be alternatingly
like, oh,
hilarious
like,
and very infuriating.
There was a while that Fuck Jerry... Remember when they like had a feud with us and they challenged us to 3-on-3 and we're like, bro, did you see our basketball team? We didn't win a game. We stink. So I watched this. It's awesome. Everyone should watch it on Hulu. Billy McFarland, that guy's crazy. He is basically, like, all of our jokes about committing fraud, he just doesn't have a conscience, so he just goes all the way.
Yeah, my understanding is that he's Tom Haverford, if Tom Haverford was a person.
But evil Tom Haverford.
Yes.
Like, Tom Haverford still had, you know, some
he had a lot of redeeming qualities.
Right,
yeah.
Right, he had a conscience, and he liked, you know,
Although,
had morals.
I mean, if you want to get on your high horse, that's fine, and we can, you know, pretend like we are scrupulous, but I would say that, like, fuck it, let's just do it and be legends is a pretty awesome motto for life.
Yeah, that's true. Fuck it, let's just do it and be legends and take out, like, $10 million of loans we'd never have any idea of how to pay back.
That's a lot of red tape that you're adding to the end of fuck it, let's just do it and be legends. Legends.
Fuck it, let's do it. Be legends and just defraud like thousands of people.
Kind
of
also legends. It's like all right, whatever. Yeah, he's going to jail, but he's got a hot girlfriend. He's getting out in 7 years.
That's
like,
easy. Also, conjugal visits,
big time brainwashed.
Listen, am I the only one on this podcast that thinks that going to prison is kind of cool?
Mm-hmm. I mean, no.
You don't have to. You said yourself, mo money, mo problems. You go to prison, you don't have to worry about anything.
Depends on what type of prison.
You wake up at the same time.
White collar prison.
No, I'm just saying like normal prison.
No. I don't think so. When you have to sit in a cell for 23 hours, not for me.
You do a lot of reading?
Not for me.
A lot of writing?
Not for me.
Push-ups?
Yeah, you can't.
There's no TVs.
There's no pile either. That's
there's no pile. You can't. You have to keep your room clean. You have to make your bed.
Yeah.
Not for me.
I don't know. I just think that it solves a lot of problems, especially if you already have a girlfriend, like a relationship on the outside. You don't have to worry about that. Like you get conjugal visits. You don't have to worry about doing chores around the house.
I'd say the only problem it solves
is... You know how guys are. Like, you know, you don't want to look after the kids, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you can shit with your roommate
there. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's cool. Just dudes being dudes. All right, what else you got, Hank?
Then my cool throne is Angsty Teenagers in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Because Pup Punk is coming to town
mm-hmm.
the week of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's right.
So Rough and Rowdy is going to be a big event, but they're not really selling tickets to the public. Pup Punk is going to be a big event.
When is it?
It is Wednesday night.
Wednesday night at the Ivy?
Yes, Wednesday night at the Ivy in Buckhead.
Which we will be there.
That was quite a plug.
That was a great plug. We will be there all week at the Ivy Buckhead if you want to come out and see us. But Wednesday night's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we had our first practice last night. Our first practice since, I think, the show in Boston at the House of Blues. And I'm telling you, we are sounding more angsty than ever. Very, very crisp.
Crunchy.
Roan was howling out some vocals. It's good.
I might just do a shitload of ecstasy before your concert.
It's good. It's funny. We were looking at the set list, what we should do, because we're going to do some like Atlanta-based rap songs. And just like a lot of sing along songs.
Drink
Paint was created in, it was actually created in Athens.
No.
Written in Atlanta.
Recorded in Atlanta.
It was, the words were written in Athens.
Yes.
In an RV.
Yes.
In RV3.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were thinking of what songs that we could do. And they're just like, we were just writing down every single song that we got emotional to in our rooms in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long list.
Are you going to do
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you bleep out what song that was? Because we want it to be a surprise.
It was
bleep that out too.
All right. PFT, what do you got for Hot Seat Cool Tone?
My hot seat is the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
Because it is going to be 5 to 10 degrees in Kansas City.
Are you sure? I haven't heard
this
that
week. It's going to be cold. It's called an Arctic Blast. An Arctic Blast is hitting Kansas City, Kansas.
You know that, like, there's nothing to talk about with the NFL. You know, like, we're down to 3 games. There's not a lot going on. You're waiting for the weekend. Every single NFL writer has just continually updated about how the forecast 6 days from now. It's like a wedding planner being like, well, it's going to be 10 degrees.
It favors the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, this is their home field. The Patriots, I don't know if they can do it in the cold. We'll see about that. They've got a lot to prove this playoff. Also, it's a Super Wolf Blood Moon happening. You tell me that doesn't... That just sounds like a description of Andy Reid.
Well, you don't like wolves, so.
Super Wolf Blood Moon.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I love wolves. I love them so much. I want to keep their population in check so that they don't get overhunted.
No, they don't. So you think it favors the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think the Patriots, they're going to be in real trouble dealing with this cold weather.
I think it's a toss-up.
I spend about, like, 20 to 30 minutes researching if Pat Mahomes has ever played in a cold game, and I couldn't
find
any.
Which he did last weekend.
Yes, also, but, Texas Tech, Lubbock.
That was like, that wasn't, that, you guys said it wasn't even a snow game.
Hank thinks that Lubbock, Texas is like the Bahamas. It's not
it's
that.
It's dry cold.
It's a dry cold, Hank, and it gets windy.
No, I agree, though, Hank. Pat Mahomes probably has not played in a lot of cold games. The flip side of that is Tom Brady is like prime dad age, where your dad just starts saying, I'm fucking moving. I got to move to Florida. This fucking sucks. I can't deal with this anymore.
But
so
Bill Belichick
feels...
is prime genius age, where he knows how to
prime
exploit
genius
put his put his brain on ice.
Yes.
And he's ready to go.
Yes.
God, it's going to be, I mean, I'm excited for Championship Sunday.
Andy Reid is more insulated as a human being than Bill Belichick.
We will get Icicle Andy.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
The mustache. Yeah,
I hope he dunks his face in water right before he goes out there and gets the Tom Coughlin red face. Tom Coughlin almost died in Green Bay. People forget that.
That was an amazing little
red. His face has never been, there's never been a shade of red that like Tom Coughlin's face.
He was like Mike Shanahan if he had a bruise on his cheeks.
If Mike Shanahan got stung by a bunch of bees and sat out in the sun and then drank a bunch of rum.
Yeah, that is exactly
that was what Tom Coughlin looked like.
My other hot seat is our mess.
Our mess.
Your pile, my mess on my desk. Because
very relatable.
Because Marie Kondo is setting out to eliminate all messes.
Who is that?
Marie Kondo is the hottest thing going on Netflix right now.
Okay.
She's a tidying expert from Japan.
Fuck.
And she hates clutter. By the way, a tidying expert, that's a fake job.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know, Marie, I don't care that you're a millionaire.
You're good at cleaning?
Guess what? You probably got a lot of problems because you have so much money.
Mm-hmm.
But you're very good at tidying, and she wants to get rid of everything that doesn't bring you joy. That's like her method is you put all your stuff in a pile. So we've actually already done step one in her process, which is just create a pile and then get rid of everything that doesn't bring you joy.
What if the whole pile in its sum brings me joy?
Exactly. Everything
just
that
knowing you have assets.
Yes.
Right. That are appreciating assets.
Everything that I have brings me joy. You know why? Because it's something that somebody else doesn't have.
Right.
And that makes me happy.
And people want it.
And people want what I've got.
So wait, so this woman, she essentially just made a career out of having OCD. Credit to her.
Yes.
But that's what she did.
She's also anti-book. She's getting some backlash. She's become problematic because she says that you should get rid of most of your books, too.
So this is like a devil, yin and yang.
Yeah, it's like a devil's triangle situation with us and her.
So Marie Kondo?
Marie Kondo.
Is her name really Kondo?
Marie Kondo.
That's not her name, is it?
I believe there's no way
that's her name.
Marie Kondo.
And she cleans up condos?
No,
there's
she cleans
no way.
Up anything.
Yeah, but like she's going around to people's apartments.
She doesn't clean up condos, Big Cat. She cleans up lives.
Okay. So, Marie Kondo, you can come to our office and clean our books.
Mm-hmm.
That is an open invite.
You can throw away all my books. Yeah.
Yes. I actually have a
some.
Few. Yeah, yeah. I have Merrill Hodges. I have Art of the Deal.
I already gave away Merrill Hodges.
I have Stu Feiner's book.
Uh-huh.
Few of those.
Edelman's.
Julian Edelman's.
That's
we read that.
We
Jules,
the,
we totally
yeah,
read
we
that. We know
good.
You're listening right
got
now.
I actually have.
It was great.
Got the TB12 method.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we read all those. Swear to God.
Our therapist gave us a book today, too.
Yeah, no, it's actually nothing in it.
That was a trick on her part because she was going to ask us, I'm sure, next time she saw us, how we liked the book.
Yeah.
There are no words in it.
No
it's
words.
Just empty pages.
It's our kind of book.
I guess that's a diary.
She knows
actually.
Us too well. It's like, here's a book.
Yeah.
Nothing in it.
It's like gluing the $100 bill to the end of the playbook. We were never going to open that thing.
All right.
My cool throne is guys who don't have to shave.
Mm.
Because Gillette accused men who shave of having toxic masculinity.
Yes.
So as someone that doesn't have to shave frequently, I'm less inclined to be toxically masculine.
So this tweet, was it a commercial or was it just a tweet?
It was an ad.
It was an ad basically calling for men to be better, which, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Like, that's true. Sure, men should be better in general. But it's coming from Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Yeah,
it's a fucking razor company.
The best a man can get.
When do razor companies start telling us, like, you know, commenting on societal problems? Isn't that a little weird?
Yeah, like, leave that to the hair gel companies.
I love when corporations do this. They're like, yeah, we just want to show everyone. Mm. It is a very important message from the people who bring you the razors.
Yes. What else does Gillette do? They do, didn't they do that?
Stadiums.
They do stadiums. That's true. They build stadiums.
Yeah. This is like Stop Racism with the Pepsi can, Kylie Jenner.
Oh, that did end racism.
It did.
That solved every single problem out there. Johnson & Johnson is the one that does the baby powder that gives your testicles asbestos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm going to wait to hear what Johnson & Johnson has to say about my nuts getting mesothelioma before I take a side on toxic masculinity.
Yeah. So some corporation out there, here's a freebie for you. Maybe do an ad being like, fuck cancer.
Like that. And then guess what?
Fuck cancer.
Here we go.
Buy our butt wipes.
Check this out. Well, that's good.
That's good. That was good.
I was going to say Lockheed Martin. Fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer.
And
bomb some people.
Yeah. If you don't invest in bombs, then you're pro cancer.
Yeah. This is a freebie for everyone out there who's listening to this who has a Fortune 500 company.
How about this? Pardon my take, presented by Fuck Cancer.
And Nazis,
and
too.
And Fuck Nazis, and punch Nazis in the face, right?
We hope Nazis get cancer.
Yeah, ooh, well, yeah. No, that's
is that not good? Because
then that's not Fuck Cancer anymore.
Well, no, whatever, like, everyone, like,
cancer's,
give the cancer to the Nazis.
Cancer's cool. We're a cancer donation service.
We got ourselves in the weeds.
Where we give cancer to
Nazis. As soon as we try to make a proclamation. Fuck. We always get our messaging mixed up. Norvell would hate this.
Yes.
Our brand messaging is all over the place.
The moral of the story is to never take a stand against anything.
Ever. Yeah. Just chill out and go the fuck off in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. Okay. Fuck cancer, though.
Fuck cancer. Hot seat for me is Ice Heads. So, PFD, I told you this before the show, but Dog the Bounty Hunter is back. He's got a new show, I think on WGN, and Beth, people forget, Dog, spelled backwards, God, he is back. Iceheads, watch out.
Is Leland back?
Leland, I'm assuming, is back.
I don't think he has anything else to do, yeah.
With his little bread ties that he handcuffs people with, and the mace that is way too big, like fire extinguisher size of mace. And Dog is here to tell everyone. I tweeted a clip of it because I used to watch Dog every single day when I was like, what is it, 2005, 2006, when he would go up to like someone who had an addiction and be like, what is this? This is an ice pipe, bruh. All right, you got to quit this shit. And the guy's like, all right, I will. I believe you. And that's it. Boom. Addiction solved.
Just talked it right out of him.
Yeah, he believed him.
You know what? Dog was the original Marie Kondo to get your mind in order.
Yeah, go with Christ, bro.
He declutters your mind and only leaves things that bring you joy.
It would be great because Dog would just shoot like gallons of bear mace into your eyes, then put you in the back of his minivan and give you a cigarette and talk it out.
All-time hair.
Give you Jesus.
All-time hair. Actually, Leland's hair was pretty cool, too. Just the, like, long single braid that he could wipe his butt with. It went down so far.
Yes.
He's definitely shit on his hair.
Yes. Oh, with him wiped, too.
Yeah.
Also, this is not an endorsement of Dwayne Chapman, the man, because not good.
That's also not Dog, though.
Yes, that's not Dog.
Dog, when he puts the shades on,
Dog is the one who cleans up America's ice problem. Dwayne Chapman is the guy who says some fucked up shit, and we do not endorse.
But he could play Riley Cooper in a movie.
Yes, he could also. He'd be the stunt. He'd be the backup. He'd be the stunt cop for Kramer.
The audition room for the Riley Cooper biopic.
It's getting full.
Yeah.
It's getting full, boys. All right. My cool throne is Coach Bruce Arians. Recurring guest Coach Bruce Arians because He is the new Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, and they made him take a physical, and he got a C on it. And he said he is elated because he actually has, I think he did have cancer. He beat cancer, fuck cancer. And he also had a paint drinking problem.
No, I wouldn't say problem. So, you have to say that it's negative to be a problem.
That's true. C's get degrees, though.
Yes.
And
that was actually the one note that I had made also. Yeah.
Bruce Arians got a C. This reminds me of the time when Ben Roethlisberger passed his concussion test, or he said he passed his concussion test, and they're like, no, you're concussed.
Yeah.
But C, getting a C physical, that's pretty good.
Anytime, yeah, if you're past the age of 45 and you get a C physically, that's way, way better than average, I would say.
They probably also...
You're graded on a curve after you're turned 40.
That I'm thinking about it, the C probably came from, like, he went in... They did the thing where he knocked him on the knee. They probably checked his cholesterol. He's like, oh, you're actually really healthy, Bruce. And he was going for an A, and then they had the treadmill with the mask on. He's like, no fucking way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, we'll just mark it as a C. He refused to run on the treadmill.
My understanding is that doctors give letter grades, like teachers do.
Yeah.
So he was probably like going through his whole process, and they said, well, okay, you've got really bad cholesterol. One of your arteries is blocked. Your metabolism's very slow. Your joints are good. He's like, just cut to the chase, doc. Give me a letter grade. A C. Okay, hell yeah. C's
done.
Awesome. I'm clean bell health.
Pass me a drink.
That's a pass. Yes.
He also said
give
that
me a cocktail.
He also said that for his brief stint in the announcing game, he didn't like it because he couldn't be himself because he got reprimanded for saying someone was wide ass open.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I was...
Sorry, I should have said, trigger warning, Ed Werder, don't listen to this next thing I say. Wide ass open.
I was actually looking very much forward to Bruce Arians in the booth, but you could tell his mouth was about 10 seconds behind his brain.
Yeah.
Because he can't say motherfucker on the air.
Right. He's got
and that's a real
like,
problem.
What's that word? Fuck. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Nope, can't say that. All right, let's get to our interview with Haley Joel Osment. Before we do that, the Cash App. It's time to talk about the Cash Card from Cash App, the number one finance app in the App Store. For a reason, the Cash Card is the most powerful debit card in the world and the only debit card with Boosts, a money-saving feature you can't get anywhere else because Cash App invented it. Just select a Boost in your Cash App, swipe the Cash Card, and save 10% or more at Whole Foods, Shake Shack, Chipotle, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, and Domino's and coffee shops around the country. Want to go organic without paying for it? Save 10% on every bag of groceries with the Whole Foods Boost. It's not hard to spend $50 at Whole Foods. Some people call it Whole Paycheck. But it is easy to save $5 if you do. The coffee shop boost also takes a dollar off at any coffee shop, including Dunkin' and Starbucks. Buy 200 cups a year, save $200. It's that simple. Become a part of the greatest rewards program ever and get boosted. Download Cash App from the App Store or Google Play and order the Cash Card today. You're not an award-winning listener unless you do. We are also brought to you by our friends at Squarespace. So I have to find the ad, and I'm doing that right now, and I can't find it, so I'm just going to keep... Oh, I found it! Squarespace. Last year, we had a great business idea to make draftjoshallen.com. By the way, thanks for the Bills jumpsuits for Jumpsuit January, Josh. We appreciate them. Imagine how good the site would have looked if we made it on Squarespace. I don't know what we had planned for this year's draft. Probably another Josh Allen. Do you see it? But I can say that whatever we do, we'll do it on Squarespace. Squarespace is your one-stop shop for anybody looking to starting any site. They have domains, websites, and online stores, complete with marketing tools and analytics. Plus, they just added email marketing campaigns so you can say more, sell more, and stand out from the pack. If you want to blog or publish content like Barstool, sell products or services, promote your existing business, or announce an upcoming event, Squarespace is the only place to go to buy and own your domain. Beautiful templates, powerful e-commerce functionality, and the ability to customize your site make Squarespace easily the best place to get you started today. The internet is the future, and Squarespace is where it's got to be. Squarespace.com/PMT. Go right now for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code PMT to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Like I said, the internet is the future. Squarespace is where you need to be. So go check it out right now. Squarespace.com/PMT for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code PMT to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Okay, here he is, Haley Joel Osment. Okay, we now welcome on Haley Joel Osment.
Hello.
He is here, extremely wicked, shockingly Evil and Vile, which premieres January 26th.
That is correct, yeah.
So what is that movie?
That is a movie where Zac Efron is playing Ted Bundy, and it covers his...
Title makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
I can imagine the poster just going, Zac Efron is Ted Bundy. But it covers his trials. It starts with his first significant arrest. He escaped from prison twice and strung along his two wives and was a very prolific manipulator as well as a killer.
Yeah.
And escaped from prison twice and was on the run for a really long time.
What are you playing that?
I am Lily Collins plays his wife, Elizabeth Klepfer, and I play a friend of hers where she works at the university medical office who's like, you gotta stop taking his calls from prison. Like, you gotta let him go,
this
girl.
Guy's bad
guy. He's bad news.
Bad guy.
Did do a good enough job, I guess.
I didn't have the charisma of a Ted Bundy.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's I feel like those type of stories are very hot right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the like, if I'm scrolling through Netflix, they've figured out the algorithm in my brain. They're
just
like, hey,
murder,
you like
murder,
serial
murder.
Killers? Yeah.
What is that about us? Yeah. Just like we love watching serial killers.
Yeah.
I don't
know. That's bizarre.
But that whole story in Wisconsin that happened last week.
Making a murder.
The first thing I thought of was like, oh shit, that's going to be a ridiculous Netflix series someday.
Definitely. Can you imagine if the OJ trial had happened now?
Yeah.
Like, that was insane media coverage for the 90s.
Insane.
The podcast would be incredible. I watched that whole 8-hour OJ thing that
Making
won the Oscar.
They
showed it at the Lemley in Santa Monica, and I went and watched it in 1 8-hour go with two intermissions. It was crazy.
Holy shit.
Really intense experience.
That is very intense.
If OJ happened now, like within a month, it would be a serial true crime podcast, and they'd be trying to convince us that OJ was innocent.
All right, so that's going to be awesome. January 26th, it premieres Sundance. Check it out. I rudely just jumped into that. I should have just said I see dead people because, like, that's just what everyone says, right?
Yes.
How often do you get that every day?
It's not so much anymore. The crazy stuff is with sports, though. Like, I was at a Dodger game, and they do, like, the movie trivia with the players, and Puig said the line on the big board. I was like, whoa. Like,
that's pretty good.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah,
but
it's crazy.
I feel like that line... Like, that's one of those lines that's such an iconic movie, and then it just probably follows you around where, you know, drunk bros are like, I see dead people, Haley. I mean, I would do it. I'm doing it right now.
You already did it. Yeah.
Literally doing it right now. And I've been wanting to do it all day.
Like,
Haley Joel Osment's going in. I see dead people.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got off to a pretty hot start in your career. I was going back through your filmography here. You were in Forrest Gump. Well, I should back up. You were in the Pizza Hut Bigfoot commercial.
That was the first thing ever,
Do you remember that Bigfoot pizza? Did you ever eat it?
It wasn't very good, I remember. And, like,
no,
it didn't last very long. Yeah. Like, everyone's like, this is kind of like a bad thin crust pizza.
So how'd you get found? How'd you get found in that?
In an IKEA in Burbank. They were doing something which I don't think they would be allowed to do now. They had a table set up with two casting assistants taking Polaroids of kids who were in the store.
They told you that they were casting assistants.
Definitely not.
They were deep cover.
Yeah, they were nice young women. I think they knew that, like, it couldn't be two creepy guys. But they took my Polaroid. I was shopping there with my mom, got picked off a pile and called in for the Bigfoot Pizza commercial, and then that commercial was seen by the casting director for Forrest Gump.
Holy That's incredible. Shit.
So it was just a very quick, very lucky sort of...
That one line that you had, he was like, this is Tom Hanks' son.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
That's
exactly,
crazy.
Yeah, and the watching TV in that room, and then on the bus stop at the end.
Yes.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
I have a theory about Forrest Gump. I don't know how deep into the internet you get with these fan theories.
Yeah.
There's a pretty hot one out there. Well, my personal theory is that Forrest wasn't really your dad.
Oh.
Did he ever have that talk with you?
No, I had not heard that theory.
I don't think the timeline matches up. I think you're...
How many years go by?
Yeah.
It's several years, and I don't know.
Are you slut-shaming Jenny?
No, I'm not. In fact, I'm saying I'm putting the blame on the studio for being afraid to address that in the movie.
Wow.
You're probably like some folk singer was your dad or something like that.
It could have been, yeah.
But the other big theory out there is that, and this kind of ties in with Sixth Sense, that Forrest Gump was dead the entire movie.
I mean,
that's an actual theory.
It seems implausible he could have met all those presidents. You know?
Well, yeah, it does. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up. Like, for example, he just picked up a ping pong paddle and became the best ping pong player in the world.
I know. It sounds like a fantasy.
But the theory is that during the scene where he's getting chased by the bullies on the bikes, They hunt him down and they beat him and he dies. And because then the very next scene is he's out running a car, which also that can't happen.
It immediately goes, yeah, he's in the Elysian Fields and right then there. Yeah.
Everything else that he does is just a fantasy about what his life would turn out like if he could use his legs.
Now I'm going to have to rewatch that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Lieutenant Dan's just an invented character.
So you were a ghost in that movie.
Did you look back and like, that was my first movie, one of the most memorable movies of all time. That's almost like the lucky, not, I don't want to say lucky, but it is kind of the luckiest break
ever.
Oh,
dude, luck has a lot to do with it, with everything. I mean, with certain, you know, who saw some film and was like, oh, I can see you, picture you in this role and everything. It's
right.
Just, it's a lot of luck. But I remember it really well, and it was bizarre because, yeah, that one, like, then we're at home watching the Oscars, and it won, like, Best Picture and all that stuff, and it's like, wow, this business is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts.
Did you cry the first time you saw it?
No, I did not. No, that was one of the first, I don't know if it was an R-rated movie, one of the first, like, adult-oriented films that I was ever allowed to see, you know, because I was, like, 4 when that movie came out.
Yeah.
I remember my friend Dave Vengus, who was the second, or a PA on that movie, when they did the ping pong stuff, he had all the extras before Zemeckis came in. He got them to do the wave really fast in the one thing, so the first take of that, he had their just, like, jumping down. Nice. Yeah.
All-time bowl cut in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
You ever think about bringing back that haircut?
That was my natural hair. I don't know why they cut our hair like that in the 90s, but that was the flop. Like, yeah.
Oh, it was the 90s. That's all you can just say. It was the 90s, and you're good.
Yeah.
So obviously people remember, like, you know, Forrest Gump, Sixth Sense. What has it been like trying? Is it like a blessing or a curse being a child actor and having everyone, like, they think Haley Joel Osment, your brain has memories of you as a child, and then you walk in and you're like, no, that time has gone on. You are now a man.
It does. There's a period of adjusting, and I didn't help myself in the career department by going to college for 4 years and just living here and not auditioning and stuff like that. But one of the cool results of that is that by having to kind of reintroduce yourself in the industry and everything, there was a variety of roles that I was able to play that I think were sort of unexpected. And my favorite was, you know, a couple movies where people didn't even realize it was me until the credits and everything. Like, I heard that a lot with the Entourage movie, and it's like, oh, it's fun to, like, truly disappear into
a
role.
How sweet was the Entourage movie?
It was really fun. Yeah, I wouldn't mind shooting that a lot of the time. Yeah. Just, you know, sitting at a party in Palos Verdes for a couple days in a row.
You hang out with Marky Mark when you did that?
Yeah, he did. We had one scene where they're, like, yelling at me through the wall. But I had played golf with him before, so he's...
How's he as a golfer? He speed golf.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah, on the little schedule thing that came out, he allowed himself, like, 90 minutes. I was like, I guess if you're playing at the country club and you're really going fast.
So, he gets out there at, like, 5 in the morning and just speed golf. So you're an unbelievable golfer, right?
Like, I'm like a 10 handicap.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's been fun, yeah.
But what was your best? Like, what is at your peak as a golfer?
I probably got down to like a 6 or a 7 in high school. And when I lived here for like a decade, like, my game completely went to pot because, you know,
there's no grass here.
Yeah, unless you're going to play a 6-hour round at like Van Cortlandt or go out to Bethpage or something. Yeah.
So you go back to high school. And then you actually continue. You starred in high school theater.
Yes,
you were a movie star.
Did some musicals.
That doesn't seem fair to me. That seems like Monica Seles, you know, going back and competing in her high school tennis tournaments when she's 15 years old.
Well, yeah, luckily it wasn't professional theater, but yeah, we did like Damn Yankees and Pippin, and I think probably the best one we did was Jesus Christ Superstar senior year. That's a fun play.
Did you ever drop on anyone like, you're not Tom Hanks?
No, I mean, I was far from the best like musical theater actor there. I think there are people that went on to do great things, and I studied experimental theater, so it was a little bit
different.
What is that? Ooh, let's get weird with it.
That sounds like some orgy shit.
Yeah, that's the reputation that they have, but it's not really earned. There wasn't a lot of naked stuff there.
That's,
I think that's more playwrights.
When you say experimental theater, I'm just thinking of the landlord in Big Lebowski in his like tight his tight
that's
leotard,
LA theater.
Just
this
like jumping around on a chair.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like?
It could be, if you know, if that's how you want to experiment, but it's based on this Polish theater artist named Jerzy Grotowski.
Yeah, have to explain Jerzy Grotowski to us.
We know.
We're very please don't talk down to our audience.
Jerzy Grotowski. Jerzy
Grotowski. That's what you guys are usually talking about here. Mm-hmm. Uta Hagen.
We're Grotowski guys.
Yeah.
No, Uta Hagen sucks. Yeah. I'm a Grotowski guy.
Not into that.
Late Udenhagen sucks. Yeah, early Udenhagen I was big into.
After he discovered himself and got comfortable with his genre.
Yeah.
sold out. So do explain experimental theater, because we are dumb and we like to learn things.
It was cool, and it was fun for me because it's a completely different style of acting than what I was used to with, you know, scene study and doing films and television. It was, a lot of it was movement based. So, and we did writing and directing as well.
You're not helping dispel this Big Lebowski image that I have in my head. Like,
there's a chair, there's sometimes chairs and a few boxes.
It's movement based. It's like,
so what
Tyrannosaurus Rex is from Jurassic Park. Can watch it.
Dance around?
There, we had a lot of European teachers, and we worked with like the Merce Cunningham ballet studio. So there's a lot of dance and stuff in the early years, but then it comes to finding characters through movement and sort of writing things from the inside out rather than like a beginning, middle, and end.
This is some high level shit. Okay. I did not understand.
It was crazy. It took 4 years to learn it. Yeah.
So you write, what does it mean to write something from the inside out?
If I was to write a screenplay, usually it'd be like, okay, I want to tell this story in this genre, and these are going to be the three acts and everything. And with the experimental theater wing, it's like we'd be improvising some scene, just two people starting with nothing and maybe not even saying anything, and then it'd be like, okay, I'm starting to find a character here, like I'm gonna file that away for later and sort of build something around that.
Got it.
Yeah.
What if we gave you like a big time idea? Could you write a script?
Sure, it's a great writing challenge.
It's,
yeah,
it's dogs with boners that run through the snow.
That's a great image.
Well, initially it's just one dog, and they make fun of him, like Rudolph, kind of. And so he's got a boner, and they're like, "Oh, it's providing too much drag on the dog sled."
Yeah,
but then it turns out you can find your way back to camp
because the kid gets lost
based on the trail left by his boner.
It's been written. There it is. Okay. Like, okay. Yeah, we got it.
All right, just wrote it from the inside out.
These brainstorming sessions.
We wanted your approval, and we got it.
What's it called? Is it just called dog boner?
Boner dogs.
Oh, we could do. Boner dog.
We could, I mean, dog boners could be the theater version.
Boner
that's
dog flows
deconstructed
way.
Yeah, we're going to Inside Out.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go, your childhood actor, unbelievable, everyone in all these movies that everyone talks about. Then you get to, you go to school, and then you come out of school. Did you have a moment where you're like, fuck, I'm not like the hottest name. I should have not gone to school.
No, because I didn't really want that. And still, the fame is the least appealing part of it for me. I really like coming to this city because, paradoxically, it's a really crowded city, but you can kind of be more anonymous here.
Yeah.
So afterwards, and I did kind of just refuse to move back to Los Angeles for a couple of years, and I was doing a play in Philadelphia, and my agent was like, can you please come back to Los Angeles? You make my job very difficult doing stuff like that. So, it's a period going back and auditioning, and then things like Entourage and Silicon Valley sort of kick things off.
Yeah.
Silicon Valley. I like your character in Silicon Valley a lot. You're into microdosing, right?
I think Palmer Luckey is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going
to didn't base it on him.
2019.
Can you explain us like what microdosing is? I want to get into
it. It is very popular with the Silicon Valley people. They'll take like an extremely small dose of like LSD or MDMA or something. So not enough to have a complete like psychedelic experience, but just to have like a current, you know, they think it makes them productive and to think outside the box.
Just buzz.
So, that's why Elon Musk sent all those weird tweets, probably.
Microdosing. Oh. He needs some microdose. Yeah.
So Elon Musk was actually high on mushrooms when he invented a subway system?
I think so. I think that's when he like violated something with the SEC where he's like, I'm taking it private. And they're like, don't tweet that.
No, it was a joke. It was 420. You guys just didn't get it. You don't understand like advanced levels of humor. 420 is funny because it's pot.
It is interesting though, because I feel like a lot of people, there are many child actors who don't have that second career where they grow up and they are adults. And do you ever look back and you're like, man, I'm not lucky. Again, I don't want to say you're lucky, but saying you kind of beat the odds a little bit.
I definitely feel lucky, very, very fortunate to just any time you get a job at all. It's crazy. You can have a major success with a movie, and then you're technically jobless as soon as it's over.
So how does that work? You know? Like, you just sit around, like, if you're a Hollywood actor, you're basically hoping that your agent is out there getting you work, but you could have a dry spell of a year?
It's definitely possible, you know? And now I think a lot of actors are more and more comfortable. In the past, you maybe wouldn't want to be quote-unquote stuck on a TV show for a really long time. But now, with all the streaming stuff and everything, it's nice to have that consistent job, I think, waiting for you. And it's really, like, I think a dream of a lot of actors, that if you get on that one show that runs for 4, 5, 6
get that friend's
years,
money.
Those guys on Silicon Valley, I mean, it's a great job to have year after year.
You get residual checks from anything?
Less now. From stuff like Forrest Gump, stuff I did on TV in the 90s, when you do a streaming thing for Amazon or Hulu or stuff now, that's gone. That's what a lot of the strikes with the writers and with the actors unions have been. We haven't figured out a way to compensate people in that way. Because if you were an actor who worked occasionally, you could live off of those residual checks,
right.
And now they just don't exist anymore.
Also, credit to your parents for not stealing all your money when you were a kid.
That was very nice of them.
That's
huge. That was like William H. Macy's character in Magnolia. Where their parents take all his money.
That's huge. I feel like that's like step one of a child actor kind of flaming out is your parents steal all your money.
It's bad.
It also seems like your parents, I mean, I don't know the whole backstory, obviously, but it seems like, you know, you just kind of happened into this audition process or the headshot in IKEA. They probably didn't set out, you know, saying Haley's going to be a superstar.
That definitely made a difference, too, because, there's some parents that go out there and sort of that's their career to sort of try and make that happen. My parents are like, if you don't like it, you can quit tomorrow. So that was nice not to have any pressure with it. Yeah.
Do you ever think about sliding doors moment? Like, if you had been a failed actor, you have a great assassination name. Like, you'd be a great
it's
guy.
It's the triple name,
triple name.
I better avoid assassination.
And a disgruntled, actor, he couldn't make it as an actor. And then he just went and
there's that.
Shot
maybe that's the B plot of a Boner Dog.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
It's very good. Yeah, the dogs are running away with the child that's trying to be assassinated. You're hunting them.
Yes.
Haley Joel Osment.
You know how in, Lord of the Flies, people forget it's like, oh, also, the apocalypse happened. Like, everybody remember, at the end, they're like, oh, yeah, there was a nuclear war. I forgot that framing device. So the dog boner camp is happening, but also the president has been shot. Like, that's the backdrop of the movie.
I like that. I like that. Do you get stage fright?
There's definitely adrenaline, and with theater particularly, there's a big rush of going out there because if you forget your lines or if you mess up at all, there's no correcting it. There's no action and cut there. But I think that's something you don't want to lose ever. Like, I'm pretty comfortable and I don't get anxiety doing it, but you do want that kind of rush to sort of give you the energy to do it.
Right. It's like a little bit of fear kind of motivates you to work harder and make sure that you've got it all memorized beforehand, right?
Absolutely.
Have you ever forgotten a line on stage?
No, I've been pretty good on stage. One of my favorite stories of that, though, I think Asif Manvi said that he went up on his lines doing a Shakespeare play, and you can't improvise your way out of it in Shakespeare.
Everyone knows.
No one can help you. You're just sort of out there twisting in the wind. So
right.
I do have that dream, though, where you're about to go. I had a dream that I was doing a play I was doing 10 years ago, tomorrow, and I've forgotten all my lines. I couldn't tell you one line from that play.
That sounds terrible.
So do you memorize all the lines when you're in a movie or something?
Yeah, I like to,
good
depending
question.
On the role.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I can't memorize.
It's tough.
I'd like memorize a scene and then be like, all right, I'm going to forget that. My brain can't hold that much information at one time.
Definitely. I definitely immediately forget it, though. Once we've done a scene, I can't recall it. I can learn stuff pretty quick, but then it's gone.
What's the most amount of takes you had to do?
Most takes? Most of the directors I've worked with, it's either been an indie film when you just don't have time to do a lot of takes. Actually, one that comes to mind, we had this in this movie I did, Sex Ed, Glenn Powell runs out to greet me in our apartment, and he's covered in lube and he has this fall and he bounces off an air mattress and slides up to me, and it was we're coming down to the wire on the last day, and we did it 15 times in a row, and he got it on the last one.
Oh.
So it's usually technical stuff that requires it. It's a luxury when you have a director that wants to do take after take after take when it's just because they want different versions.
Oh, so you'd prefer that?
It depends. There's sometimes rehearsal is useful, and sometimes it's good to just go into it cold so that your reaction is really spontaneous.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely different ways to approach it.
I've always wondered, when you're filming a movie like The Sixth Sense or something else that has kind of a complex narrative surrounding it, how do you kind of maintain the continuity of the storyline despite the fact that you might be shooting one scene on a Wednesday that takes place earlier in the script than a different one that happens Friday and later? I don't know if I'm even phrasing this correctly.
It's a huge challenge if you're shooting it all out of order. And you've got to – that's when it is good to memorize the whole movie beforehand, because you've got to know – beforehand where you are in an emotional state, everything. And that's one of my biggest fears, is that when you see it all stitched together, you're like, oh, I wasn't considering that he had just walked out of a huge argument with his girlfriend or something.
Yes.
And he's going to be hanging over the next scene.
Hank is our producer, and he did that to us once, and we did a little skit, and we did it all out of order, and it still has fucked up our brains. Wait, why did we do it that way?
It looks like stabbed, Memento or something.
Exactly.
It was so confusing.
But on a serious note, what is the most helpful thing you can have to get over that? Is that the director's job to kind of make sure that everybody is kind of coming in with the same mentality and like all focused on what's happening in this scene?
Yes. Directors and producers and everything, they're really great. They have a good way. Like you can, like we sort of did AI in Order because it was Steven Spielberg and he has all the power in the world to be able to get to certain locations when he needs to and everything. But yeah, if it's, you know, it's really comes down to the scheduling, because sometimes it's not easiest for the production to do things in the order of the script. So they have to kind of find a middle ground between those two things.
Interesting.
Yeah. You hunt lizards.
Yeah. Well, I don't kill. I was collecting them when I was growing up.
Okay.
And I still have a leopard gecko that I've had this one for like 10 years now. And I had one that lived to be 25 that passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, what was his name?
His name was Pete. I got him when I was like 6 years old. Yeah.
Damn.
That sucks.
Yeah. They live for like 30 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's commitment.
It's wild.
Do they have personalities?
He did. I think that any animal, you spend a lot of time with it, you start to pick up on its things. And even though it's a reptile and doesn't exactly like to be, like, you know, doesn't need to be petted, it does like food. So when I'd come in the door, it would come and, like,
a lizard guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like reptiles a lot.
Okay. Do you think that's a negative or a positive?
I think it's a positive.
When I said that out loud right now, what was your name? Like, Haley Joel Osment. You're a lizard guy.
Yeah, like the reptiles.
Better
than
a ferret guy.
Yeah.
Oh, way better.
What is that community?
I don't know. What, are you a snake guy?
I like snakes,
yeah.
I'm not crazy about feeding rodents to them, though, so that's why I don't have one.
You never owned a snake?
No, never had a snake.
Okay, because I feel like...
People really don't like snakes.
Lizard guys, you're teetering on the edge of can't trust this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Snake guy, now it's...
Or a tarantula.
Don't leave anything you love around a snake guy, because he'll just take it.
Yeah.
He's got tattoos, he's got the whole fucking thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's biblical.
I think a lizard guy, you're always one bad weekend away from becoming a snake guy.
Yeah.
That's true.
If things go off the rails...
One part doesn't come through, your agent's like, hey,
you're
Haley.
Fuck it, I'm getting a boa.
I think it's the number of lizards. If it's one in a tasteful, like, desert terrarium that's not in the kitchen, you know, that's then it's fine.
Well,
but
yeah.
If it's all over the place.
You ever have a fire salamander or what?
No, they're super cool.
They're pretty
though.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Reptiles are cool.
We had an intern that was really into fire salamanders.
Yeah. Are they the big ones or like...
I'll have to check the PowerPoint. It's been a while since I read it. But.
Are the Geico commercials, like, is that true to form for the geckos?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean,
you
are our lizard expert.
Yeah,
pardon my takes, lizard expert now.
Yes.
Do you get upset when you see lizards being, like, incorrectly portrayed in the media?
The representation is important, and they do not have British accents, usually from more equatorial zones, by lizards from Pakistan.
Oh, you're really crushing all of our fantasies. Here, man, they don't have English accents.
They don't. No.
Have you watched the viral video of you saying I have AIDS, and then the cat plays you off?
Yes, that was like the mid 2000s, and like
before
smartphones and everything. So I just kind of heard about it, but had no way to really look it up. So it was later, I think, when Conan like challenged me to the ice bucket challenge. That's when I saw the full litany of things that he'd been doing
now,
with the Walker thing.
Now that scene, which we actually have a table reading. If you'd like to do a table reading with us, we do that with all the actors. That scene that you filmed that after Forrest Gump.
That's right.
So does that mean that little Forrest had AIDS?
It's possible if it's all the same cinematic universe.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
What you just said.
That character in the Walker Texas Ranger expanded universe.
Yeah. That's like Bill Walton. It's all one song.
Yeah.
It's all one song.
It's
all one movie.
Yeah.
Fuck. That was good.
Yeah. It's that movie I think of it as a movie because it was a special two-parter. Brian James, who played one of the replicants in Blade Runner, was in that. And then I just worked with Edward James Olmos. So I'm like slowly moving towards getting to be a completist on Blade Runner, which makes me
happy. There you go. Yes. There we go.
Who's a more talented actor, Tom Hanks or Chuck Norris?
Well, Chuck Norris, it's not really acting. It's a lifestyle, you know? He just is Chuck Norris, you know?
So
What is it when rain falls on Chuck Norris, he doesn't get wet?
Yeah.
Rain gets Chuck Norris.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, the Chuck Norris jokes of like like 10, that was
pre-classic.
Internet 1.0.
The
hamster
dance?
Let's do the table reading.
Bring me back.
All right, so you're going to play Haley.
Hank, you want to be, Hank, you be Walker.
Hank's going to be Walker. PFT's going to be the woman. I'm going to be the man.
You have to kiss me at one point.
All right, here we go.
It seems so much shorter Oh, sorry.
You
got to
do
up.
It in your. Like,
I didn't have time to memorize
you,
it before.
No, but you were six at the time or whatever. So
it seems so much shorter than a week, and in a way, a lot longer.
I know what you mean.
Hey there, welcome home. It's okay, Aunt Alex. I'm a man now.
Wait, I gotta kiss you. Can I kiss?
Yeah,
can
yeah,
just,
yeah,
can
yeah.
I kiss you?
Yeah.
Just do a. I'm a kiss. No, I'm a kiss. Okay.
Just my only chance to kiss.
All right, just like on set.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
that felt good.
All right.
That was
nice. Wait, you gotta go.
Wait, hang on.
Do just an extra cut.
I do declare.
Do an extra cut.
I got the vapors from kissing Haley.
Do a kiss into okay. the thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
And how you doing, little partner?
Fine. And it's a little visitor now. Al Bodig is how you say it in Cherokee.
Pardon my French, but I'll be damned.
Walker told me I have AIDS.
And all scene. Right.
That was
and
great.
That was the end of the episode.
Wait, was that really?
No. It'd be great if it was just a cut to black yeah. right there. Yeah.
I assume that that yeah. was some selective editing with the cast yes. coming in. Yeah, that was.
Who was the man? Was that who was his partner? Oh, the guy who was always.
Was it Wilford Brimley?
That. No.
Or should have been.
Think of all old guys yeah. with like big mustaches.
Yes, yeah, Sam Elliott.
Oh, yeah. Wilford Brimley wasn't that, wasn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, that's right.
That might have been him.
Yeah.
There we go. Perfect. I nailed it.
I'm going to educate you a little bit. You probably don't know this. Sure. We learned this a couple weeks ago on the show. Do you know what it means when someone says break a leg?
I don't know the origin of it.
Mm. Because they hope that you make it into the cast.
That's terrific. Very clever.
Mm-hmm. Probably should get and a refund on your tissue
one
education.
Thing I will yeah. say, because you'll see actors kind of wince if you say it, you're not supposed to say good luck before a performance. That
really?
Is bad luck to say good luck when you're talking to an actor.
So yeah. is bad luck good luck?
No, I don't think that's an exception.
Wait, you ever go up to like a fellow actor right before their scene and just be like, would it be a real shame if you screwed this up?
Yeah, to
that's
what
I do.
People
yeah,
like
be a real
that.
Shame.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce.
A lot of mind games. Shame. Mind games is how you assert dominance.
What was it like being yeah. around Bruce Willis like that at a very impressionable age?
Yeah, he was just super cool. You know, they set up a little driving range pad down in the basement of the convention center, so he was always down there hitting balls, and he DJ'd the parties on the weekends. Like, it was a very, for a, you know, a horror movie, it was a very, very fun time doing
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a DJ.
He was a
like
DJ,
he was
right?
on the ones and the twos?
And I think that he was, I don't know if he was DJing back then, but in the 70s, I believe there was a bar in Midtown where he and John Goodman were the bartenders.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine
that's
going
pretty
there?
Damn good.
Yeah.
That would Cleaned be pretty damn time. Good.
Bruce yeah. Willis is a cool guy. He I is. Hung out with him in Vegas one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's shorter than I thought he'd be.
Well, you're pretty
I
short.
Guess so,
yeah, I know yeah. I am.
But, like, is he shorter
yeah,
than you?
He's short. No, he's taller than me, but oh. he's shorter than I thought he'd be.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah. No,
that's an actor thing.
It is an actor thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Time.
What was it like making the transition from being, you know, mostly like drama, some horror stuff, switching over into more comedy-based stuff recently?
It really just was a change in the industry. There was just this explosion of improv and podcasts and all that stuff. And two things happened that sort of got me in working on those more. I did a mini-series called The Spoils of Babylon with Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig and Tobey Maguire and then Michael K. Williams in season two. And that was an introduction to like a big comedy world right there. And then I was on the Comedy Bang Bang TV show for two seasons and sort of got to know those guys who are very, very funny.
Yes,
so,
very funny
yeah.
guys. What's it like working with Will Ferrell? I mean, who were you with recently? Oh, we had who'd we have? Kevin Hart in last week. And
oh,
he was
yeah.
saying that he's like just funny all the time.
Yes, definitely one of those people who is just always funny
effortless
around the yeah mm-hmm. around yeah. the clock. Yeah, and the thing we did for our scene was it was supposed to be a really badly made like 70s miniseries. So sometimes Will Ferrell played like the author of it, and then sometimes he would take parts from other actors and show up in split screen and everything. So he played the Shah of Iran while I was obviously in a different room, like having this back and forth with him. So it was bizarre. Yeah.
All right, so I have one last question. It's the SeatGeek question. Put in promo code TAKE. You get $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. So you're in Pay It Forward.
That's correct.
How does that work?
Being in Pay It Forward?
No, Pay It Forward. Oh. Like, can you pre-pay it forward?
Interesting. I'm shocked at how often stuff like that still happens. Like
yes.
the coffee line thing.
In Canada, yeah. and they just keep paying for
and
it
And then there's
all
always
time.
One guy who's like, I'm driving there right now to break the cycle. Yeah. Like, there's always one person who does that. But yeah, yeah it's a really... it's an idea that's really lasted for
but,
a lot of
but
people.
But like if I wanted
scheme,
to prepay
it, put it on a card.
Well,
like,
no, like,
yeah.
like if I want to win a bet later today, I'm going to be really nice. You know what I mean? Be like, hey, lizard guys aren't that bad.
Oh, yeah. I
that
see
kind
how it
prepay
is.
It forward.
Yeah.
You just described karma.
Covering yeah. your bases. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just the guide for life. It's like, just treat everybody nice because you never know what you're going to need from them later.
Yeah. you should re-release Pay It Forward every few years, because when it first came out, there was like a wave of people like, hey, this idea of just being nice to people is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, mid-90s or the late 90s luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is a novel concept.
Yeah.
Should just keep doing that.
Well, we're on it. You should also do a sequel to Forrest Gump. Like, sure. I want to see what old young Forrest looks
there
like.
There was a book, I think. There was a sequel in the
Without Feathers? Was that the name of it?
That sounds familiar. I think that's something else.
He became an astronaut.
Yeah,
he went to space with his monkey named Sue.
Is that true?
Yeah, totally. No, this is actually what happened.
Damn. I got to read that.
Surprised I didn't make that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nice talking to you guys.
Again, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile, out January 26th, Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
Zac Efron plays Ted Bundy.
That's right.
And
Future Band Season 2 is streaming on Hulu, all episodes right now.
How much weed do you smoke when you hang out with Seth
Rogen? None.
Really?
I don't know what their daily regimen is, but they work at a really fast pace, and he and Evan Goldberg are like managing four other shows at the same time.
They think you're a narc, just so you know.
Yeah. I'm just not invited. No. I went and did another series of theirs in Toronto right after Future Man, and the whole time on this season, we're like, oh, Seth and Evan in Canada doing their other show. And then I got to that show, and they're like, Seth and Kevin are in Paris doing their other show. You're like, They're always
jumping around
behind the curtain. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they think you're a narc.
Yep.
They're probably like, we can't
just
offer
like
weed to the lizard guy.
They saw me hanging out with the Texas Rangers. Still a deputy.
Oh, man. All right, Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. That interview with HJO was also brought to you by Roman. Studies show that 52% of guys will experience erectile dysfunction, or ED. A lot of guys think it's just the way they're built, but actually, it can be the first sign of something a lot more serious, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, a heart condition, or diabetes. Roman is a one-stop shop for men's health. They have their own licensed physicians and certified pharmacies across the country, which means the whole process will be quick and it's going to be painless for you. They take care of everything from online diagnosis to fast deliveries of your FDA-approved medication, and it comes in super discreet, unmarked packaging. Being a Roman member means no waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face convos, no trips to the pharmacy. You get access to licensed physicians and brand-name medication like Viagra or generic equivalents for as little as $2 a dose without ever leaving your couch. All you have to do is go to GetRoman.com/take and you complete a brief online visit. A licensed physician will review it and either approve your request or reach out to you if they have questions. It's that easy. If you're experiencing ED, go online, get checked by the doctor, go to GetRoman.com/take. That's GetRoman.com/take for your free online visit.
Okay, let's get to some segments. I got a pick for you guys, by the way. I'm going to throw this out there. It's obviously, by the time people listen to it, they'll know if it's wrong or not.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler's playing the Wolves for the first time.
Okay, so take the over on his points?
Yeah, over 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
Okay.
He's going to do the same thing that he did in the practice.
Yeah.
He's just going to go off. He's going to alpha the fuck out of him.
Well, so let's ask the question, is the Sixers starting lineup better than the Timberwolves C team?
Now that I'm thinking about it, is Andrew Wiggins going to maybe play on him? That's going to be, oh, whatever, just take it, and if I'm wrong, everyone just laugh at me tomorrow, mm-hmm. but I'm going to be right, so it doesn't really matter. Okay, segments. Hank, why don't you decide which segment you want to do first? Because we have two great ones to lead off. Done or Finished or Trouble in Paradise?
Trouble in Paradise.
Okay, so Trouble in Paradise. What's going on with the Celtics?
There's a bit of a leadership problem.
What does that mean?
Yeah, who's on their leadership committee?
Yeah, you need one.
Well, Kyrie has been very outspoken saying that the young guys need to pick it up. They're not, you know, they don't have what it takes to be a championship team as of now.
He's pulling a LeBron on them when LeBron was the one he hated.
Right. So he's basically taking shots.
It's like when you grow up to be your father.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum,
who do love my dad,
have been affected by the fact that Kyrie Irving is back.
Daddy's always happy.
They had all of his minutes in the playoffs last year, so they have problems with their playing time this year. They've gotten smoked 2 games in a row.
Sounds like Brad Stevens coaching for his job.
Seems like they need to do something. Maybe not blow it up. They do need like a veteran experience.
They need a fight.
Yeah, exactly. They need to have something that galvanizes them. They need to get into a brawl with a fan.
Yeah.
That's the best way to get your team together.
Get
in
a hockey fight. That's guaranteed to win a game.
Yeah.
But basically, Kyrie Irving called them out before Monday night's game. And so you would think that would be like a light a fire under their ass, get them going.
Okay,
and
let me,
then
okay.
Monday night's game, they went down by 40. They came back, but it was still.
The Nets are scrappy, but let me ask you this, Hank. Has there been a players-only meeting yet?
Yes.
Oh, that's bad because you don't want to pull that. That's the ace up your sleeve.
Yeah, well, who called it? It seemed. Did Gordon Hayward call it?
No, Hayward didn't.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
what's
that,
the deal?
So that's the leader. So he's not able to be a leader yet because they don't trust him because he wasn't playing last year.
Who do you put the blame on?
Kyrie.
Okay.
Oh.
Why?
He wanted to be a leader. He left Cleveland to come and
so
have his own
so
team.
You're right.
And
so
I don't think what he's saying is wrong necessarily. Like, the young guys do have to step up. But he, like, keeps talking about, like, they need a, you know, they need a veteran. They need a leadership. Like, he is kind of supposed to be, like, that leader. And Hayward would be, but Hayward's not the same Gordon Hayward that they thought they were getting. So it's like, I feel like it is tough for him to be like, come on, guys, let's step it up when he himself isn't really, like, playing at an all-star caliber level.
I just think that it's funny that the wheels came off of the Celtics franchise when Hank didn't come with us to go visit them.
Gordon Hayward called
you
out.
After that point, things have really not gone according to
plan.
So
panic level?
4.
4
out of 5? Jesus Christ.
Out of 10.
That's
brutal.
Oh, damn.
Here's a little spin zone for him, though. You got the all-star break coming up soon. That's just basically God's reset button.
Yeah.
And Danny Ainge loves trades.
That's true.
Yeah,
everyone's
so
on the trading block.
Don't pick up the phone. If Danny Ainge calls you, don't pick up that phone.
Also, Danny Ainge is a Mormon. I would like to say that. I made an error last show.
Yeah, he is a Mormon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
so,
man.
Please update the records. Everyone, please go back, listen to Monday's show, and when we say, is Danny Ainge a Mormon, just correct us and say, yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that should do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up... Done or finished? Duke.
Oh, finished.
Oh,
I'll tell
man.
You why. The blueprint is out on how to beat Duke, and it's twofold. Ready?
Yep.
One, make a 55-yard three-pointer at the end of the half.
You're in football season. 55-yard is,
sorry, 55,
is from the 55, stands.
Sorry, 55-foot. it was past half court, right? That's 50-yard line. So make a long three-pointer.
Make a three-pointer in the opponent's red zone.
Yes, exactly. No, yeah. Kind of. Yes.
Your red zone.
My
no,
red
you,
zone.
You, well, yes. Yeah, you know what I meant.
I know what you meant. The other thing is piss your pants.
Yes.
Because the blueprint is to have a coach with a little leaky tinkly
yep.
Going
down
the
front. Which might
screen.
Be problematic because we are a fuck cancer podcast.
We are, but I'm also a piss dogs podcast.
Listen, and anyone who shames can't shame a guy who pisses his pants.
I'll piss myself right now.
It happens. And also, ultimate alpha move by Jim Boeheim to go to Duke. Cameron Indoor, the crazies, to give hand Duke their first loss of the season and then piss on their floor.
That's true.
That's almost like my boss A-Rod.
And you know what? It says Coach K Court right next to the sideline.
Yep.
Jim Boeheim literally pissed on Coach K's name.
So, Hank, panic button for Duke?
0.
Okay. Because
they didn't have like any of their players.
I love this Duke team. These are my favorite Duke teams. They're going to win it all. Wink. So this is why I love this Duke team, because they have so many good players, and Zion is unbelievable. But if you have a team that plays good defense, they will start playing like I want to be the hero, and they can't shoot like a classic Duke team. So it's gonna be a great loss
it'll
in March. It's gonna be a great loss
be
in March. Duke's year. Duke's year though. Duke's year.
Who's their guy that's slapping the floor that's taking annoying charges?
Well,
Alex O'Connell?
Yeah, and Hank's good friend. AOC.
AOC.
And he actually, RIP, AOC.
Oh, what happened?
Got an ankle buster.
No, but the camera angle's weird, so no one really saw it.
Those camera angles, Cameron Indoor, it's elevated. It's a small gym.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's elevated.
He had a career high last night. He's playing great.
Career high of what? Getting posterized?
I think 19 points.
So what was
Wow, that's pretty good.
17-point underdogs? On the road?
Yeah, 17 and a half.
Listen, I
hate to be the guy that bet on Duke last night.
Oh, God.
At the office.
Oh, man, that's tough.
I'm calling in sick.
Yeah.
That's me.
I'm not showing my face for a long time.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, the boss will not be giving you that raise this year. You bet on Duke last night? Minus 17?
Yikes.
You must think they're really good.
Do you think that maybe Zion flu has infected? Like, everyone's so enamored with his
spectacular
spectacular dunks. It's like, oh, what incredible physical feat is he going to pull off next that they don't feel like they have to pull their weight?
It is funny hearing the announcers try and explain how R.J. Hunter's good.
No, hey.
They're like, Zion's going to be number one, but R.J. Hunter, he's pretty good, too.
I do like watching Zion. More than just, like, everyone says the dunks. That's fine. The dunks are the SportsCenter top 10 highlights.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing that Zion does is probably two or three times a game, he will just say, I'm getting this rebound, and, like, putbacks, and he'll get like 4 rebounds in a row, and it looks like he's playing with little kids.
Do you think that rubs his teammates the wrong way when he takes their stats away?
Probably.
He does interceptions on rebounds.
Nitpicking
Zion. Nitpicking Zion, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. He turns his whole team into rubberneckers.
Coach K's going to have to take away their clothes, like he always does, and makes them practice naked.
He's going to strip their D's right off.
Is Coach K's back okay?
You kill that joke so much.
No,
like, it's
no.
Like, Duke goes down in like the first half, and Big Cat posts the same gif over and over again.
Oh, that gif's my favorite gif ever because he just tips over.
Find a new slant.
Okay. All right, we'll get off of the Hank stuff. So, visual, Adam Gase. Adam Gase, in his introductory press conference in front of the New York media, which New York media, they're really nice, right?
Mm, they're
great. Cool.
Wait, we are the New York media.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah, no, they're awesome.
Media elite. So he had maybe the weirdest, like, I don't even know what it was. His eyes were just darting everywhere.
Yeah.
He had a weird face. He looked like he was being held hostage.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to be a complete reactionary, knee-jerk reaction guy, but... he's done.
He cannot survive in the big city.
Jim Tom Sewell. Listen, they got Jim Tom Sewell when he did. Remember that press conference when he? No, not the fart. The first one when they asked him like what type of defense he was like.
He's like, I'm not answering.
And he was like sweating everywhere. If you have a bad first impression, you're done.
This kind of thing can fly. You know, we'll let it slide in small markets like Miami and Chicago, but you come to New York, you can't bomb your first press conference like this. You just can't. It's going to chase you around. It's going to follow you right behind. He looked like he was an alien who was just learning what cameras were for the first time as they were asking him these questions. I actually Googled Adam Gase Tourette's because I didn't know if I was like missing out on something, and maybe he did have some sort of an affliction that
don't want to
that explain that didn't want to go there. So maybe undiagnosed. I don't know. But it was bad.
Yeah.
But in fairness to the Jets, they've tried having coaches that don't look like they – took their helmet off in Mars in Total Recall before. Mm-hmm. That hasn't worked. So why not go the other way?
The Adam Gase thing is so funny to me because Adam Gase was like Matt LaFleur, Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, Matt Nagy like 3 years ago. That's how fast it can turn on the perception.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a little balding. He's on the wrong side of 40, and he's no longer the young QB whisperer that's going to fix everything.
Ooh, speaking of QB whisperers, guess who's back?
Who?
Ben McAdoo-Doo.
Oh,
so I don't know if he's actually going to get the job, but Cliff Kingsbury brought him in specifically to interview him for that job.
To have him stand next to Cliff Kingsbury so people are like, wow, Cliff Kingsbury really is hot.
I was going to say, like, Ben McAdoo looks at Cliff Kingsbury like Mark Davis looks at John Gruden. He's like, birds of a feather, me and this guy. We're going to be the new hot boys in town.
We both have great hair. Yeah. This is awesome. Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury. That's a really mean move. That's basically when a woman puts like her less fit friends in the wedding
that
party.
That was very, very diplomatic.
That was very... What was the movie where the...
You're like a cat on a clothesline right there.
What was the movie where the woman goes through the lasers?
Shallow Hal.
No, you know what I'm talking about. When she's like going like...
You're talking about Entrapment. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, there we go. Boom. I was going to say Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm. That movie made me feel...
all kinds of ways.
Great about Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
Great performance.
The Rock. Hank.
Your butt fits through those lasers. It's incredible.
Womack.
Like butter dripping through
the
glass.
I knew it was you.
I fucked the prom queen.
Oh, yeah, The Rock.
Oh,
great
line.
Oh, no, that's what... No, Nick Cage says that.
He goes,
I married the prom queen.
Losers complain. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
He's like, I married the prom queen.
Yeah.
Wow. Good one.
Cool, man.
You got it, Nick Cage.
Well, that means that you can't fuck more prom queens. So you're a big loser.
All right, Hank, go ahead.
Guys on Chicks?
Yeah.
Sup? Because PFT said fashion advice is allowed this week, and even though this isn't fashion advice, I dress very well. I need your help. A guy at work has told me multiple times he likes my dresses and shirts I wear. Then, the other day, he told me he likes my boots. Is he gay or trying to get it? Thanks,
boys. Wait, what was it?
Maybe
what was it?
Dresses and boots.
But first was dresses and shirts?
Dresses and shirts I wear.
Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's trying to figure that out for himself.
I think the boots thing, though, I feel like that's a I want to fuck thing.
Is that... Well, it'd be worse if he asked you to take your boots off so he could look at your feet.
This is where, you know, to just be like, hey, thank you so much for all the compliments.
Mm-hmm.
Move along. Actually, no, this is what you do. Wear something ridiculous. Like, wear sandals in January and see if he compliments him. Be like, those are very fashionable and completely appropriate clothes for this weather that you're wearing right now.
Yeah, if he'll
you're full of shit.
Yes, if he tosses a compliment at you when you really don't deserve one,
he wants to
then
fuck
he's
you.
Just trying to fuck.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
Guys are very simple. It's like, that's our one go-to move.
Yeah.
Sup, boys. So you know when you're pregnant and your boobs get bigger?
Yeah.
Can I get my body to think I'm pregnant and grow my boobs without actually getting pregnant?
Yes. Yes, you can. And here's and here's how. You just hold a baby. You steal a friend's baby, and then you just carry it around with you. And the sound of the baby crying will make your breasts enlarge.
Mm-hmm.
And great, great fun tip. It's actually form of birth control because your period will stop too.
Also drink a lot of milk because it's got to go somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
To the tits.
Yeah.
That's how I got tits.
I can drink more than my boyfriend. So should I get a new boyfriend or do I need to reevaluate my drinking habits?
Tough
maybe
one.
Get another boyfriend.
Yeah. Maybe go to AA.
So I was going to say get two. One that you go out for dinners with and then the other that you go out and rage with.
Yeah. That's
best of both worlds.
That's okay, though. Just emasculate him all the time in front of his friends. That's what you really got to do. Be like, you can't even drink, pussy. And then he'll love that.
Mm-hmm.
We have very fragile egos, guys. Just remember that, ladies.
Hi there, Big Cat and Tiny Tim.
Oh,
my question.
That was just kind of mean.
That
I don't know if you've seen the
up.
First of all, I don't know if you saw the picture of me with HJO or me and Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I grew.
A monster.
I grew like 7 inches.
Yep.
So now I'm 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
Why are some nipples sensitive and some nipples completely feelingless?
Is that true? I only have two nipples, mine.
My auxiliary nipples don't, they're not as sensitive.
Got it.
I can still get off when I rub them, but it takes me longer.
My nipples are sensitive to cold, and that's about it. Not really to touch.
No?
So that's me talking about my nipples.
I actually think that if we're talking evolution here,
yep.
Like Darwin, when he sat down, he designed titties.
Nipples?
Was like, I want this to feel good when the baby sucks on them so that the mom likes breastfeeding.
Oh.
And so then that's why he made nipples, some nipples, like, really sensitive.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Last one. Hey, guys, especially Hank. Hey, thank you.
All right. That was not in there.
I just gave birth a couple months ago, and I'm now in need of tips to tighten up my stomach. Big Cat, any tips on the year of the core? How is the year of the core doing?
I actually am down 10 pounds. Mm. I'm still about 10 pounds away from anyone being like, hey, you actually look good, because I was that overweight. But I am down 10 pounds, so what up now, haters? I'm definitely going to stick to
this
and not put it back on.
They're sick.
I was so fucking fat. I was walking around like 255.
Really?
Yeah, that's a big boy.
It didn't look that much.
And you could see it in my face. Late December, I had that, like,
I know, I'm just being nice.
I had that washed, like, you know, John Belushi, last days of John Belushi look.
The nice thing, though,
it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
If it's around the holidays, everybody else has a little more walking around weight.
Right. And you wear sweaters.
I'm bloated from the airplane travel.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, this is a real tip. I do use the Tim Ferriss diet, which has worked for me, and I think it works for anyone who wants to do it for real. 20 pounds in 30 days is what it's called. Google it, Tim Ferriss diet. You got to do it strict, but you get one cheat day where you can go to McDonald's sober, and it's not sad.
Well, it's not sad for you.
Right.
Yeah, it's sad.
It was sad for me.
I would actually recommend just lipo. Just if you got...
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, if you just
got easy. Some money. P90X. Remember P90X?
Yeah.
Did you do P90X?
I never did.
Oh, I bought the DVDs.
How much were those? Like $120?
A lot of money. I didn't really do them.
That was such a racket.
Yeah. I did it like 2 days, and then I was like, wait, I'm just working out way too hard in my living room. This sucks.
I do P90X normally. It's called sports.
Mm.
Just a natural athlete like myself.
Hank, how are you going to lose your winter weight?
I don't have any winter weight. I'm trying to gain weight.
Interesting.
Are you trying to put on weight?
Are you?
You want to have a weight gain off?
Sure.
Last time that happened to you, you got quite the belly.
I got big.
Yeah, you got belly. you got big. You just gained it all in your belly, which I actually am jealous of. Like an old Russian dude, which is a big pot belly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's our show. We'll see everyone on Friday, NFC and AFC Championship preview.
Let's go. It's going to be cold. That's going to suck for the Patriots. They can't play in the cold. Love you guys.
Hey, yo, man. Yo, what's taking on so long, son? Dude, calm down. Where you coming? Pull off. Pull off.
Many men who step before me. Blood in my dog and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be.
And niggas tryna take my life away. I put a hole in a nigga for fucking with me. My back on the wall, now you gon' see. Better watch how you talk when you talk about me. Cause I'll come and take your life away. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord, I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me. These pussy niggas put money on my head. Gone, get your refund, motherfucker, I ain't dead. I'm the diamond in the dirt that ain't been found. I'm the underground king, and I ain't been crowned. When I rhyme, something special happen every time. I'm the greatest, something like Ali in his prime. I walk the block with the bundles, I've been knocking the humble. Swing the ox when I rumble, show your ass with my gundam. Gotta tip a nigga, go ahead, lose your head. Turn your back on me, get clapped and lose your legs. I walk around, gun on my waist, chip on my shoulder top, bust a clip in your face. Post of this beef ain't over. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord, I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men, many, 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 many men. Wish death on me, wouldn't be special if it wasn't for
it's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.